It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, live from the Racing Boys studio here in lovely Kansas City, Missouri. Our producer, Austin O'Neill, joins us. Kirk Elliott hanging out with us here in the studio as well. Welcome to the show. Appreciate everybody tuning in to today's show. Well, where do we start today, folks? Where do we start? There's a lot of topics to talk about. I think we probably should start off by talking about the Cup race, Austin. I'm just going to say it. I've been wrong before, and I was wrong last week, and I'm just going to say it. That Cup race was much better than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be terrible, but I'll say it now. It was much better than I thought it was going to be. Some good side-by-side racing. Track was, you know, that track wasn't a typical Saturday night, Friday night, or Saturday night dirt track. But it still, it was pretty good, Austin. What did you think of that? The track was pretty decent, wasn't it?
It was actually really good for the circumstances that they were dealt with. And you and I, you know, had a lengthy discussion about what we were going to expect to see, you know, last night's at our track talk show on Saturday morning. And,
yep,
you know, Kirk kept telling us that it would be good and we wouldn't let him have it. And
right. We argued with him pretty hard on that one.
We
too.
Did. And, yeah, you know, both
beat
of
him
us
up pretty bad.
We both stand corrected here. And, you know, I was watching the practice session. I think it was practice number two, you know, Saturday morning on that show. And,
yep,
you know, I was seeing, you know, guys that were able to run the top and some guys were able to run the bottom. They had similar speeds. And I knew my statement wouldn't last, you know, after I saw that video. I couldn't go back and change it. So I had to live with it. And, you know,
sometimes you just got to do that.
You
Austin.
Have to. And, you know, I watched, you know, quite a bit of last night's race and it was really good. And, you know, they were determined to get the race in, even though they had, you know, some light showers come through. And it's just,
let's thank NASCAR for doing that as well.
Yeah, I mean,
they could have given up real easy.
They could
right
have,
there.
And they got really lucky that it wasn't a heavy rain. You know, yeah, with it just kind of being a drizzle, they were able to open the cushion up, let the water kind of seep in and soak in, and they
roll
just,
the track back in.
The best thing they did was get the pack trucks out there immediately.
Pack cars.
Yeah, I think the Crown Vicks.
Right.
You know, and just get the slick, you know, rolled in as fast as they could, and just try and keep the water off it as long as they could have.
Yeah. So let's talk about the finish of that race. Tyler Reddick looks like he's on his way to his first victory, right?
Yes.
But at Chase Briscoe obviously had the fastest car of the night. Don't you think he had the fastest car of all the cars?
I think he did because he, you know, he jumped out there in the first stage and led for quite some time until he had that left rear tire, or it was right rear tire, go out. And then Kyle Larson took over after him. But, you know, his strategy worked out just well after the rain. And yes, he was the best car in the field last night.
So what did you think about that last lap move where Chase Briscoe went in there? And to be honest with you, I know what he was trying to do. He was trying to throw a slider, but that slider wasn't even close to being a complete slide job, was it?
No, not even close. And, you know, as a racer, you try and put yourself in the position of Chase Briscoe and Tyler Reddick and see what you would have done different.
Yeah.
And, you know, watching that race and watching the last, you know, 5 to 7 laps that he, you know, ran down Tyler Reddick, and, you know, he knew, he should have known where he was better at. He was better in 1 and 2, and he kept losing those in 3 and 4. So,
right,
you know, at that point, as a driver, you got to just kind of settle down and hit your marks into 1 and just survive 3 and 4 and plan out your last 3 laps of attack and really try and figure out how you're going to get by him in the best way and make sure you don't have a mistake like he did on the last lap, you know, where he just spun himself out. And, you know, he didn't really have a good enough plan going into his slide job. And, you know, his run coming off of 2 was good, but it wasn't good enough to clear him. And he went to the track, part of the track that was the dirtiest. And nobody ran down there besides lap cars, and not enough lap cars were down there to clean it off. And he carried too much momentum in there, and he just hit the dust, and it was it.
He body slammed him.
He did. And Tyler Reddick, I mean, he could have done 2 things differently here. Now, this is looking in hindsight, and he could have just committed to the line he was running and expect the side job and hope, you know, you can clear him by momentum and right. he, you know, chokes up on the bottom, or you enter in like a half a lane off the cushion and actually off the wall and just be ready for him to door slam you. And right. just puts you in the fence, and you can bounce off the fence and get going
again. And keep going. But so what you're saying is if he would have just moved up the track a little bit more and got away from him a little bit more.
He opened himself up to getting crashed because he entered in the middle of the track, and what's that going to do? You're sitting in just a vulnerable position.
Right, because and when the guy's going to slide you, he's just going to bounce right off of you.
Yeah, and
you
saw in the video, and he overshot the corner, and it just backed out under him, and there's just no way you can catch a car that heavy and at that rate.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about after the race. Tyler Reddick was very gracious in his defeat to Chase Briscoe. Chase Briscoe come up there and said, "Man, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that." I'm not sure that I would be as nice as Tyler Reddick was to Chase Briscoe. What about you? You're going for your first win. The guy knows that you're going for your first win, and he body slams you, takes you out of getting that first win. What do you think? How would you react to that?
Well, I wouldn't have.
That would have been the 200th win. Was going to be the?
I'm not sure on that stat.
100th. No, 200th win for RCR, it would have been. Well, I'm sorry. I take that back. It would have been the 10th driver to win for Richard Childress. It was. Yeah.
I don't know how you could have handled it. He handled it very good. I got to give it to him because he could have handled it a lot worse. And this is not the first time he's had a race taken away from him. He blew a tire at Auto Club leading it. I think he had another race this year that he was really dominant at and that he just had taken away from him, and you know, it's good that Briscoe apologized to him because you could have just blown it off. And
I'm gonna tell you, don't come up and apologize to me right after it happened, because I would not have handled it as well as Tyler Reddick did. I would have said, "Get away from me! I don't want to talk to you right now. We'll talk a little bit later." I wouldn't have been in the mood for it.
Well,
right
I don't there. I don't think Tyler Reddick's kind of that way.
Well, I know he's. But
You would have handled it different. That's just you, though.
Just me.
Yes, but I don't know. It's a tough situation to be in. You know, he did well handling it. You got to present yourself well, and you can't let your emotions and moment get to you like that. But you know, it's not the first time he's had a race taken away from him like that.
Mm. Well, they're lucky that I wasn't there. Because I wouldn't.
A lot of people are looking.
No, I'm just saying. It just I wouldn't accept that a body slam job trying to get my first win. I just couldn't take it. I would implode if something like that happened to me. If I was that close to winning my first race, and you know what? He almost won the race anyway, right?
Yeah.
Do you see how close it was at the line with him and Kyle Busch? He spun around, he did that 360, and he righted himself, and he almost beat Kyle Busch to the line. That would have been amazing if he could have done that.
I was watching that live, and I seen him get spun around, and I'm like, where's the second car at? And I thought it might have been Cody Guerra that passed him. I'm like, there's no way that's Kyle Busch. I didn't know what his car looked like at this race. And then you see a car coming off the top with a head of steam, and you know, it was so close.
It was like 50 feet.
But how cool would it have been to have him, you know,
spin
get crashed and still win?
Yeah,
that would have been pretty interesting.
Yeah. How about the fans booing Kyle Busch after the race?
All right, so I got some comments about that one.
Yeah.
So remember when Alex Bowman won at Vegas this year?
Yeah.
He made comments to Alex Bowman about he is the same driver always. I'm gonna say it wrong. He backs into every win he gets, pretty much.
Right.
And now roles reverse. Kyle Busch
backs into
a win.
It. Yeah, right.
But
and he got booed. Pretty.
He got booed. It's funny. I
don't know why he got booed. To be honest with you,
I think just Kyle Busch. I mean,
yeah, but you know, it seems like in years past, in the last couple of years, people started to take on to Kyle Busch. I think a lot of people, I think the dirt fans are starting to like Kyle Busch a little bit more because he's actively involved. You know, he ran the shootout. He's got Braxton running the junior sprint. They're involved in dirt track racing. I think that the dirt fans are starting to kind of like Kyle Busch a little bit.
You know, I've never been a Kyle Busch fan, and I kind of follow that trend as well. I mean, I'm not his biggest fan. You know, I will, you know, gladly watch him race, but
well, he's one of the best.
He is, and you know, I think over the years he's kind of calmed down a little bit, and he's not the old Kyle Busch we used to see. But you know, I got to give a lot of credit to the dirt, him doing a lot of dirt racing. Credits to, you know, kind of the resurgence of his fan base again.
So Rick says he didn't body slam him. He almost spun and hit Reddick with the back bumper.
Yes.
Well, I guess that's true.
It is true.
But you know what? It's still kind of a body slam to me a little bit.
I mean, not really.
Maybe not. But you know what? Spin out. Don't hit the guy and take him out of the race. Right? Just spin yourself out if that's the case. If you're going to spin out, just spin yourself out.
Well, there was really no way he could have just spun himself out and not hit him. I'll get the video pulled up here.
You don't think he could have pulled the brakes down a little bit?
No, Reddick didn't do a good enough job of he left
defensively.
So he threw the block on him going into three, and he entered right in the middle of the track. So no matter what you're going to do, you're going to get hit. You know, that's when he just should have committed back to the top. So here's the video.
Yeah, we're going to watch it again.
So he enters two lanes lower.
Yeah.
And he's already spun. And he hits him.
Well, we're going in here and going into the corner. Here comes the slide. Man, I know that's not a body slam. Okay, I stand corrected, Rick. But it's... Listen... If the front end of his car would have just come around a little bit to the right, that would have been a body slam. It was as close to a body slam. I mean, I'm not trying to. I like Chase Briscoe. Don't get me wrong. I do like him. And I like Tyler Reddick. I like these young kids that are coming up through the ranks right now. But I just think that that was a little dirty pool in my eyes. There was no way that he was going to clear him. He had to know that he wasn't going to clear him if he tried to pull that off. Did you think that he was going to clear him? Did you think for a second when he had the momentum to clear him when he went into the corner?
Well, after watching it a couple times now, I think he could have cleared him if he entered straighter on the bottom. Now, because with it being dirtier down there and dustier, it's going to get free no matter what you do. So, you know, the best thing you could do is just try to enter as straight as you can and just – hope you do a gradual slide up to the top. I don't know.
Yeah. Caleb says, people want Kyle Busch to be the black hat. To be honest, I don't root for him, so I don't cheer, but neither do I boo. But I'll tell you, I respect the talent he has and his accomplishments. I think everybody does.
Yeah. Yeah, right? You have to. I mean, he's one of the winningest. I think that was number – is he number 9 on the win – all-time win lists?
Tommy, are you saying no respect? Are you saying Briscoe gave no respect to our winner? Is that what you're saying? I don't know. I'm curious because Tommy just posted up there, no respect. So did you say that Chase Briscoe didn't give Tyler Reddick any respect? Is that what you're saying?
I think he might be.
Yeah.
We'll see what he says here.
I think so, too. But you know what? I just don't think what he did was right. To be honest with you, and again, I have no problem at all with Chase Briscoe and Tyler Reddick. I like both those guys. They're both young, up and coming drivers, and I think they're going to go a long way in their career. And I think Tyler Reddick's going to win a lot of races before it's all said and done. I just didn't like the way he did it. Tommy said yes, no respect. So, what do you think? Was there disrespect there? Or was he just going for the win?
I mean, he's just going for the win. He wants to win as bad as anybody else does. And, you know, he had an opportunity and he took it. And it wasn't the best opportunity to take, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. So, I'm just going to say, I just want to repeat again that I was completely wrong about the race.
We were completely wrong.
Yeah, because both of us were in that boat together, right?
Yeah.
I didn't think it was going to be any good.
No. We were giving Kirk a hard time.
It was much better than I thought it was going to be, though. Marie said going for the win. So we appreciate that, Marie. Listen, Here's one thing about this show. I just want everybody to know that we could care less what your opinion is because it's your opinion, right? You know what opinions are like, right? Everybody's got one. And it's okay to have your own opinion because we're not going to judge you for your opinion on this show. See, that's what it's all about. Talk radio is all about your opinion and what you think transpired during these races. So we're never going to knock on you for having an opinion about what you thought happened during the races. So just so you know, that's what Mostly Motorsports is all about. It's all about opinions, right? Austin and I had an opinion. We thought the race was going to suck this weekend, and it didn't. And we're going to admit it, that we were wrong. That race was a lot better than I thought exactly. Caleb thought it was going to be a snoozer. So, all right. So let's move on to some dirt track racing, all right? What about Peevely this weekend?
Oh, man.
I want to know what people thought about Peevely this weekend. Because let me tell you something. That was about as rugged as it gets for a World of Outlaw race right there. That was cowboy up, man.
Do I dare say it was worse than Lake Ozark last year?
You think it was?
I don't know. Is it worse or was it not? I don't know. I didn't get to watch the race.
It was pretty rough.
I mean, I saw a video of a human laying down in a rut coming off a fort, and they were completely under the racing surface. I mean, that's bad. You can't race on that.
Only one I saw that was bad was Lake Ozark Speedway last year. Well, it was very similar. And there was a lot of cars that got torn up down there this weekend.
I saw a crash from Brian Bell, and he jumped out and bit him. And it just destroyed that car.
It completely destroyed that car, man. He kind of bunny hopped and then hooked. And
it just went over.
It just flipped over, man. That was a nasty one, too.
It was.
Destroyed that car. It looked like it anyway. I at least I know one thing it destroyed. That top wing was junk. I don't know about the rest of the car, but it was pretty bad. So what did you think about the race overall? Did you get to watch much of it?
I watched a little bit of it. I watched the last couple laps of it. And they rained out the night before, and you don't want to put your touring cars through a track, like that. We don't want to put them out there where they're going to tear their stuff up. There's just... You can't do that when they're going to run 90 races with you. So at what point do you just count your losses and just call a week and then move on?
All right. So with that being said, before the show started, Austin and I were talking about this. Should have the World of Outlaws canceled that race because of the track conditions there? I say no.
Well,
you got to let them run.
You look at it too, and now we're in a situation where we're having part shortages, tire shortages. Hold on. Just shortages overall in racing.
Yeah.
And you can't put them out there where they're going to have a chance of tearing their stuff up and then being, at fault to a port shortage because they can't go race the next race.
Right.
That's my thought. What do you think? You're probably going to say no or disagree, but.
Me personally, I just think that, you got to deal with the circumstances that you're dealt with. It wasn't raining. It was cold out. Granted, you saw everybody down there with their hoodies on. It was colder than crap. But I say you got to race. And listen, it's just like when you guys raced down at Lake Ozark Speedway last year when it was rugged, right? That first night you come down there. I say you got to go for it. You got to run it. If you ran up top, you could get around those bumps. If you got really huggy pulled down on the bottom, you could miss those bumps. But if you tried to go through the center, you were going to have a problem.
Right.
The holes were more in the middle, right?
They were, but it kind of locked down the racing to two different lanes. You either could run the bottom like some cars are here doing, or you could run the top with the majority of the leaders, but... you know, you referenced the race of the lake last year. The only reason majority of the cars stayed because they were racing for either national tour points or regional points. And
that's true. You know, we Some went home last year, didn't they?
They all went to Double X, and I was, you know, I was close to making the decision to leave and go to Double X, but, you know, when you're also trying to race for points, and I mean, your touring cars won't leave an event with the Outlaws, but you don't want to hurt your reputation of having, you know, a rough track. And I get they're dealt some, you know, hard circumstances, but, you know, you can't put your teams through something like that. That's just my opinion as a racer.
Rick said, did you see the video of the guy laying down in the rut at Peavely? Did you see that?
I did. It was Derek Hagar posted it. Or I saw one that Derek Hagar
put. It wasn't Derek Hagar.
No, it was, I don't know. Hagar just posted it. But, I mean, I've never seen a rut that deep before.
Yeah. Marie says, even Kenny Wallace loved it. He's my favorite outlaw driver. He's an outlaw driver?
UMP modified.
UMP modified driver. You know what? I don't like seeing people tear up their equipment. I hate that part because that just costs the teams money.
Yes.
But at the same time, sometimes you just got to deal with the hand that's dealt to you, right?
No, you're right.
I mean, that's just part of it. You know, you go to some of these racetracks around the country, and sometimes they're dry slicked and rubbered up, and you have to deal with them just the same as if they are rutted up, and you got to deal with that, right?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Somebody just lost their right rear. No, Joe B. It was actually a
left rear. My gosh. I was Joe B., the whole tire and wheel come off that car.
Jeez.
Did you see the hole in the right rear of Carson Macedo's
wheel cover?
I'm not sure what caused that.
I think Kerry Mattson spun out in turn one, and Carson was trying to miss him and caught his front bumper is what it looked like.
Yeah. Well, it was a good night of action. Logan Schuchart was second, Brad Sweet third, Sheldon Hodenshield was fourth, and James McFadden rounded out the top five. Rico was just right there, man. He looked pretty good.
Rico's always good at Peavely.
Yeah, he gets around that place pretty good. Yeah. So the midgets, Nina just said, the midgets, boy, they had a rough night, too, down there.
Oh, those poor cars just got thrown around.
Beat up, man. Unbelievable. Back in Gene's day, you ran on whatever. I don't ever remember them canceling races because of rough tracks. At least cars were made heavier, and they would take those rough tracks a little bit better, she's trying to say. So, you're right. I've never seen a racetrack canceled because of roughness. Have you ever seen one canceled because of roughness? I've never seen it.
I don't think so. I might have, but I don't, not top of my head.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I just say that you just have to. Nina, let me ask you this. How nervous were you watching Ayrton race out there on that racetrack? Were you nervous about that? I mean, did that have you kind of, did it have your anxiety level up, ramped up a little bit? Because you knew your grandson was going to be out there running on that racetrack. Did it bother you at all? Were you a little concerned about it? That's what I want to know. And I trust Nina with her opinion. I think that, you know, if you have one of your family members out there racing on it, now maybe I might change my mind a little bit, If you were out there racing on it, maybe I'd feel a little bit different about it.
Well, I think everybody that was participating there didn't, you know, nerves were high because they don't want to tear their equipment up too, you know, and just having the unknown of what the track's going to give you.
Nina said I was having a heart attack. Nina, gosh, don't do that. You mean too much to us here at Racing Boys. We don't want anything to happen to you. So let's talk a little bit about Brady Bacon. Brady Bacon picked up the victory this weekend. What'd you think of that? Did you get a chance to watch any of that?
We watched a little bit of the highlights earlier. Atomic Speedway, just another unfortunate track in Ohio that's just dustier and all get out. You know, it's
so
just
dusty.
There's only one track that I know in Ohio that's not dusty. That's Eldora Speedway. I think the dust and the track conditions is what cost, you know, Justin Grant a chance at the win because he had a left rear tire go down. But, you know, Brady Bacon's just on, is really strong right now. You know, the Hoffman car's, you know, really working well with them. And, you know, Brady's an exceptional driver. And it's just, you know, you get Brady on a roll, you're not going to get him off of it, right? And you know, he's just.
You think Brady would have won if Justin Grant would have had that flat?
I think so, just because I was watching some of the slide jobs Brady or Justin was throwing at Brady, and he just couldn't. He couldn't get his momentum up to clear him well enough. He could get to him, but he just couldn't get that one good run to get by him.
Right, right. Well, I'm not sure exactly. I don't know if Brady would have got around Justin Grant, to be honest with you. We might differ on opinions here a little bit.
Well, that's what it's all about.
It's all right. It's all right. It's okay. It's okay. Robert Blue ended up running second. He just was kind of hanging on there. He couldn't make any speed to get up there and really race with Grant and Bacon.
No, but you know, you have nights that are like that where you're not the best car, and you just gotta
make the best out of it.
Yeah, make the best of it, and you know, have a good points finish, and you know, put yourself in a good position at the end of the year, and you know, have a shot at maybe winning a championship. You know, championships are won from day one.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to visit with Lee Spencer. We'll talk about this weekend's race at Bristol, the Cup race. We'll talk about that and dirt track racing with her. That's all coming up next here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Lee Spencer joins us next here on Mostly Motorsports.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Rod End Supply is involved with a variety of motorsports as well as industrial applications with many different types of products. Since 1989, Rod End Supply has provided superior products priced competitively. Whether you're racing at the circle track or drag strip, rock climbing, or going off-road, Rod End Supply has an assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products to keep your equipment moving. Rod End Supply's experienced staff is ready and willing to help you with your needs. Their promise is to continue to provide a superior product with superior service so you can stay in front of the field no matter what it is. To learn more, go to rodendsupply.com.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Jared Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery, we do some vinyl, the other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Soil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. FYI, for people that want to tune in this week on the show, tomorrow we're going to have Mike Muller, who picked up the Kyle Larson Flow Racing Late Model Challenge. He picked $20,000 in that 50-lap race. He's going to join us tomorrow. Steve Post will join us on Wednesday. And the owner of JJR, Jason Johnson Racing, Philip Dietz, will join us on Thursday as well. Joining us on the show right now, fresh off the morning drive, I listened to her this morning. She did a great job. Lee Spencer joins us now. Lee, how you doing?
I'm just rolling along.
Just rolling along. You're headed back to Bristol. Now, you got up early and did the show this morning, right? And it sounded great. I'm going to say it right now. I'm going to say it now, Lee, that I was totally wrong about the Cup race this weekend. It was much better than I thought it was going to be. I'm not a big fan of the way it ended. I was really, really pulling for Tyler Reddick to win that race. I really wanted to see him pick up that win. What did you think of the ending of that race?
I don't think what Briscoe did was completely intentional. I don't think he would have. He's not the kind of guy that would wreck somebody for a win. I think you know him well enough. And I was heartbroken for Tyler Reddick. And I think he was halfway stunned when it happened, which is why he didn't, you know, he didn't show more emotion. I think, you know, at that moment he was just in a little bit shell shocked because he was a turn away from his first Cup win, and just heartbroken for the kid.
You know, to me personally, I didn't think that Chase Briscoe was close to pulling that move off. I know that he went in there and he felt like he was going to spin out. Me personally, just spin yourself out. Don't take a guy out of winning his first race. That's kind of my opinion right now.
You know, he said he was absolutely sick to his stomach over what happened, and I think he was more sick over what happened to Tyler than he was, you know, finishing in the rear of the field after that move. And you know, he was like, if I can't win, I at least want a dirt guy to win. And then, you know, lo and behold, the smoke clears, and Kyle Busch just by the steals one, kind of backs into it, you know, almost
right.
Like another acting you know and love, right?
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's Kyle kept himself in position in case something happened. And, you know, a lot of times, that's how you win them. And
right.
He did just that. 60th career win. Ninth on the all-time list. 18th consecutive year with a victory. I mean, that's pretty damn impressive when you look at his body of work. That's
right.
To me, it was pretty damn sporty.
You know, Tyler was about 50 feet from winning that race, it looked like to me. It was really close at the line, Kyle Busch beating back to the line. How spectacular would that have been if Chase Briscoe gets into Tyler Reddick, Tyler Reddick spins out and makes it back to the start-finish line and wins that race? How spectacular would that have been?
He was pretty darn close. I mean,
yeah.
I think that, you know, he was, it almost happened. I couldn't understand what it took Briscoe so long to fire up. I didn't ask him. I was upstairs. I knew I had to get, you know, get through my day quickly because I had to get up at 6 a.m. and get back to the racetrack. But,
right.
It was, you know, I thought that if he had had the opportunity to get there, because he had a really, really good car. I think Briscoe was a little bit better on newer tires there at the end, and I think he had the car to beat all day long. And
yeah.
you know, I think he'd admit that it was a bonehead move. And just like last year in the inaugural event, you had a situation where the two best dirt racers took each other out, right?
Yeah.
Christopher Bell and Kyle Larson. And the first year, Joey Logano ran, you know, just a couple of races on dirt his entire life, goes out and gets the win. And I think he kept himself in contention yesterday just by being smart.
Yep.
You know, and ended up with a third place finish. And, you know, if Briscoe had just been a little more conservative there at the end, yeah, he'd be looking at another second place finish rather than, you know, outside of the money.
Yeah. What do you think the biggest story, I think, yesterday in post-race comments would have been Kevin Harvick? I know you guys talked a little bit about it on the show this morning on the morning drive. I was blown away by his comments after that race. Weren't you?
Yeah, it was a little shocking to some degree, but, you know, having gone through his availabilities during the last couple of, weeks at the racetrack, he really wasn't looking forward to this situation at all. And so, I think he was of the mindset that this is going to suck no matter what happens.
Yep.
And, you know, it played out. You know, he was almost prophetic in how he tried to. So, I think that's kind of how things turned out for him. And, you know, I know you heard say that when they were interviewing drivers after that second red flag when the rain came out, that the drivers were having a blast out there. They were having a ball.
Yeah.
So, hey, I might lose you because I'm going through a tunnel. We just went through the Cumberland Gap.
Okay. All right.
I'm going.
All right, so we'll just stay with her until she gets through the tunnel as she's working her way through. You know, there was a couple guys. Listen, I want to give a little bit of a shout-out to J.J. Yaley. J.J. was running, I believe it was 12th at the time that he got in that accident, and it took him out of the race. But it was such a great day for the 15 car of Yaley. I felt so bad for him to have such a good run going for him that was taken away from him late in that race. I hated to see that for Yaley.
Well, he was one of the first cars to kind of venture up. It was early on in the race.
Yeah,
he was the first one to go kind of far above. And he was picking off quite a few cars there for probably 10, 15 laps.
Yeah. No, he looked pretty good. And, you know, there was a couple. Austin Dillon, he really looked good there for a while, too.
Ty Dillon did, too.
Yeah, so did he.
Because he fired off that first stage really fast and, you know, he had a good. He was actually giving Larson a kind of run for his money there.
What about William Byron? Kind of picked up where he left off there at that late model race, didn't he?
Yeah, I didn't.
Did you see where I posted that up on my Facebook page?
No, I didn't. I was
the spin cycle continues. I posted up on my Facebook page, and not one person picked up on what I was talking about.
Well, I was watching the race off of my phone in the race shop, so I was not surfing any social media during the race. But no, that's kind of a funny dig you put it, old William.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we'll go back to Lee Spencer here in just a second, and we'll speak to her. So, all right. So Lee, Kirk says, let me get you on here. Let's get her back on. Lee, how you doing? You made it through the tunnel, all right?
Well, that was eventful, huh?
That was eventful. Yeah. So finish up with your comments about Kevin Harvick.
Well, no, I mean, I just think he went in there with a negative attitude, and his prophecy played out. And hey, we're going through Middlesboro, home of Lee Majors, the Bionic Man.
All right.
We could have used a Bionic Man or two last night.
Yeah.
Anyway, I won't say he wasn't the only driver saying that, hey, we've done this enough. We've gone through this enough. We've seen this, you know, it's ho-hum. It's, you know, this really isn't well suited for cup cars, yada, yada, yada. But I really think at the end of the day that it played out. It was an entertaining event.
I thought so.
I swear to God, I really believe that The third time will be the charm. I think the next time that we go, they'll have more time to work on the cars, to get them dirt ready, and to put on even a better show than what we saw last night.
Do you think next year they'll take the windshields out of them, Lee?
Yes, and I don't think they had enough time to work on it. I think that that's one more element that, that they'll try to figure out. They got to, you know, work with the mud and how it clogs the radiators. I think that was something that, you know, some of the guys, they replaced air filters. That seemed to help. But it's, you know, it's now that we've kind of got the next gen, you know, we're getting used to the next gen and going through the transition with the next gen, then you have to figure out, okay, how are we going to make this better on short tracks? Because it has not been a barn burner. I mean, it was great. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I enjoyed last night. I thought it was entertaining.
Me
the
too.
Other two short tracks and Phoenix were not all that in
no.
a bag of chips. So
right.
I really think they need more horsepower. We need to go to work on that. Come back and see, you know, how that works out. But, you know, if we go back, I think that there are several things that they can do. And they'll talk to the drivers. They'll get more input from Larson. I give them props for, you know, when the red flag was going on, that they put Briscoe and Bell in the safety truck and took them around and got their point of view. They have talked to Larson a little bit about certain things. You know, they just need to keep tweaking it and get it to the point. Now, I liked your idea the other day when you guys were talking about, let's take Iowa and just make it a purpose-built dirt track, because,
yep.
you know, the infrastructure's there, you know, they could play around with it. There are, you know, certain places that's all they do is dirt, and they're damn fine. They do a damn fine job of it. But, you know, just trying to get it right. And the people who are, you know, saying to me, oh, but a four-hour race, when it rains, there's not a whole hell of a lot you can do about it. They got 250 laps in. I was at Bristol this morning. It's pouring down rain. It was a
yeah.
muddy mess. You know, the fact that they got the, you know, if you had told me after that first red when we thought Briscoe was going to get named the winner,
yep.
that we would see a full 250 laps, I would have laughed at you. When we were all sitting there with Reddick and thinking Reddick was going to be the winner. I mean, I rewrote my lead three times on my story, you know, until I finally had to change it and, you know, finally say, hey, Kyle Busch has won this thing, right? So
right.
You can't say that there weren't plenty of storylines to choose from throughout the course of that race. But NASCAR got all 250 laps in despite what Mother Nature tried to dump on us again, two weekends in a row. But,
yeah.
you know, to kind of, you know, bitch and moan that it was 4 hours, you can't do it. You know, when Mother Nature's involved and it's at a racetrack, how many races have we seen get canceled this
right.
year on dirt tracks, right?
Yep.
So to get 250 laps in, I think that, you know, kudos to NASCAR for making, and the racetrack for getting it done.
What do you think about the news about North Wilkesboro, and they're going to run some pavement races, rip the pavement off, and then run some dirt races? What do you think about all that?
Here's the deal, and one of the reasons I elected not to put that in my notebook on Saturday was the simple fact that we don't know what's running there, right?
Right.
We knew that they were going to do this. We know that they've been planning to do this. I don't think it advanced the story. Now, when you tell me specifically
who's going to run there,
right, what you're going to run there,
right,
then I'll write the story, right? But
yeah.
did we really find out much more than the last time that I put a story up on the website about North Wilkesboro? I don't think so.
Right, right.
I mean, you know that they're doing infrastructure and all that, and that's great, and I applaud them for doing it. Just, you know, come on out and tell me who's going to run there, because that's, to me, that's when it's going to be worthy of my time.
Yeah, Austin wants to jump in here for a second.
If you go to the Racetrack Revival Facebook page, they have a printed off or image of the schedule for the whole month of August and September that will highlight what days the pavement cars are going to race and what days the dirt cars are going to race and what classes each day.
Do they say what class? But they never say what sprint car class they're going to
yeah.
run, though, do
wing
they?
Wing 410s.
Oh, they just say
and
wing 410s.
And big block modifieds. And
so you think it'd be
yeah,
the world.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, we don't have a sanctioning body, though. Am I
right,
correct?
Right, right. They
so,
need
I mean,
they
until,
need to make
I mean,
an agreement.
Honestly,
they need to make an agreement with the World of Outlaws to make that work.
Well, and I think that, you know, why can't that happen? I mean, why? And hell, if you really want to make it historic, just leave it a dirt track. Make it a dirt track and you know, because the fans will come out. I think this whole deal, you know, the symbiotic relationship between NASCAR and dirt racing all of a sudden is good for both forms of racing. And it also gives more guys. I mean, how entertained were you watching Buddy Kofoid the other night, coming from 32nd to third? You know, he didn't get the finish he deserved.
I think we've lost her again. She's traveling back to Charlotte from Bristol, so she's probably going to have some phone interruption there. So we'll try to stay with her until she comes back. We'll see if she does. Yeah, man, I thought Buddy Kofoid was going to be a player in that race for sure. I so wanted to see him win that race, his first race as a truck driver. Isn't it easy to root for Buddy Kofoid, to be honest with you? Isn't it easy?
Yes, but what caused Buddy to start 33rd? Did he just have a bad heat race? Is that what mired him back in the field like that?
I can't remember exactly what happened to him during that heat race, but he didn't run up towards the front that I remember. So, I don't know. It is what it is, I guess. So, all right, so we've lost Lee. Unfortunately.
You know, Buddy's kind of our, I don't want to say our last hope, but he's the next, you know, big thing that's going to carry.
Dirt racing,
yeah,
right.
and he's.
Yeah, hang on just a second. All right, there you got Kirk. You can hear Kirk.
Kirk talks so loud.
Kirk talks as loud as anybody I've ever known in my life. Kirk Elliott does. All right, let's go back to Lee Spencer. So your final, I thought Buddy was going to put himself in a position to win that race. There he was running up there towards the front at the end of that deal. I was so sick for him.
Well, I think, you know, Ben Rhodes on new tires was just amazing. And he's been dying to get an opportunity to run on dirt. He likes dirt at Bristol better than he likes the concrete. He's been wearing Tracy Hines out to put him in a midget. You know, he went to Chili Bowl. He went to the Gateway Nationals. He, you know, he's just dying to get an opportunity, and he can't get anybody to back him in it. And I say, you know, why the hell not? And, you know, I'd like to see him show up. You think about all the guys over the last few years that have gone back and forth, guys that we have never raced on dirt before but are doing it now, and I think that it's good for both sports.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I was spacing out. I watched so much racing this weekend. I forgot what happened to Buddy's car, but Mel just reminded me his car overheated with mud on the grill. So that was kind of a bummer for him, wasn't it?
Well, that was a bummer for him and during the heat races. And he had to park it rather than blow up the engine, which was really smart on his part. But that also, you know, enabled him to come from the back to the rear. And you know, I really detailed it in the story that I posted yesterday morning for the Cup race, and I can't wait to see more of him. I know for sure that we'll see him in Knoxville. You know, we'll also see him in run. I think it's what a late model in Nashville over the next couple of months or so. And,
yep.
I just really look at seeing what he's capable of doing, because I think that this kid is the real deal. And you know, we're just scratching the surface of what he's capable of doing. And the other thing, and it was something else that I mentioned in it, I thought it was way cool that Christopher Bell got on the radio and out mentored Buddy.
He did.
I mean,
yeah.
And it was a win situation because, you know, Buddy told him about the dirt and what he was experiencing in the truck. And, you know, Christopher could use that information on Sunday. But you know, just to hear him go through that. And, you know, the other key to that, how well he was running, is not taking anything away from his talent, right? That was the truck that Martin Truex raced to the win the year before. Marty Lindley was the crew chief, and his spotter was Tyler Reddick's spotter, Derek. Oh, God, what was his last name?
drawing a blank on last name, but he goes by Spotter Jared on Twitter. But I think that the combination of all those things put together, it was an optimal situation. Yeah, Derek Nealon, it was an optimal situation for him to be in and to make his debut.
Yeah, no doubt. Did you get a chance to watch Peevely at all?
I saw Mercer Macedo. I thought that was pretty scory. What absolutely blew my mind was the Child Jr. flipping and then coming back and finishing fourth. That to me was just something else. Good, I called a day. So after Schrader had 2 days of fun and frolic at I-55, he went down to Springfield and kicked butt in a late model. Is that what he was saying?
I missed that part. I missed that.
Okay.
But you're right. The whole Shelton Hodenshield thing, where they changed out that front axle and a top wing, and got him back out there, and then he came from the back and ended up running fourth. That was an amazing feat right there.
It was something else. I mean, it's just rough. You know he's going to be good at I-55, right? The kid's just been amazing there in the past, but this is what he did. And that being said, what the hell was his team owner last night? I mean, it was kind of mind-blowing to me. Ricky Stenhouse finishes second in the first dirt race at Bristol. Always runs well at the track when it's concrete. Yesterday, he couldn't find his ass on that track.
Right.
It's either feast or famine with that kid, and I know he can race. And I just really expected more out of him. Other dirt guys, I felt bad for Allgaier because something broke on that car and he slammed hard in the wall right underneath us. That was something else that I thought was kind of brutal. What else? That was, those are kind of my big takeaways. Other than that, the, usual suspects you had from Turk, right?
Yeah.
Larson, Bell, Bowman, all had top 10 finishes. And Bowman's running sprint cars this week, so props to him. Happy that he's getting back to his roots and just loving it, right?
Yeah, he talked about it. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm happy that he's getting that opportunity as well.
Yeah. Brady Bacon beats Robert Ballou. I don't know what your thoughts about that race, but it looked like Justin Grant was on his way to victory until he had that flat, and then Brady took over, and Robert Ballou really didn't have anything for Brady Bacon. Did you get a chance to watch any of that race?
I did not. I heard it was phenomenal. Social media kind of got lit up about it, so I'll have to go back and find that once I get settled in this week. But this is a great time of year. You've got all the racing you could ever ask for, and hockey, and baseball.
Yeah, no doubt. Well,
in my happy place.
Well, me, I'm not a stick and ball guy. I like the Kansas City Chiefs and motorsports. That's all I really care about.
Well, Kirk and I sit there and yap about Blues hockey then, because the Blues are on a roll.
Oh, I have to listen. Let me just tell you a little story about Kirk. When we get ready to go on the air every Saturday morning, our producer back at Sports Radio 810 WHB is Blake. And Kirk and Blake sit here and talk stick and ball, and all I want to talk about is motorsports, and they throw me completely out of my wheelhouse. They sit here and they talk about it and talk about it and talk about it, and it takes me out of my good place talking about motorsports, because they've got to talk about the Royals, they got to talk about college sports, whatever it is, they got to talk about it, and it just wears me thin.
Well, now that I'm back in the Midwest, you'll have to come to a Cardinals game, and we'll get you in the groove.
All right.
If you get to root for a real team.
Yeah. Oh, well, our team isn't that good. Let's face it.
You've got our old coach, so what can I say?
Oh, do we have your old coach?
Yeah, isn't Matheny still coach of the Royals?
Yeah, is he not any good?
Well, let's just put it this way. You got my sloppy seconds.
Oh, man. That's terrible to say. Oh, gosh. That's horrible. That's horrible. All right, Lee. Well, what do you got coming up on Racing Boys? What are you going to – you got a new story coming up?
That's a good question. I've got a bunch of good stuff in the can from the interviews this week to talk about Talladega.
You know, I think that we got NASCAR got off to a really strong start at the beginning of the season, right? Because we had just all these phenomenal races. I mean, Phoenix wasn't a barn burner, but you know, great things before we hit the short tracks, and you know, we really expected a lot of the short tracks. So after freezing my ass off at Martinsville and a lackluster Richmond, I'm glad Bristol got us back in the mood for some Talladega ass-kicking super speedway style racing. And Dale Earnhardt Jr. is going to be in the booth for Fox.
That's going to be cool.
That should be righteous. Am I right?
I'm telling you, the one time that Jr. was on, I think it was the Daytona broadcast, it was phenomenal because, you know, when you listen to Junior talk about plate racing, it's not plate racing now, but when you listen to him talk about what it takes to run at that level on those tracks, you listen to him because he was so good at it.
All I can tell you, and I mean, keep in mind, listen to the six this weekend, because when TJ Majors was with Dale Jr., the two of them on the radio with TJ, you know, telling him, you know, being the eyes in the sky, and Junior working his magic on the racetrack, that was something to behold. Now, why Joey Logano would give up TJ Majors, I have no idea, but he will be with Brad Keselowski. Brad Keselowski is absolutely, positively no slouch at Talladega, and, you know, I think he'll be a great equalizer with this new car. I don't think, you know, the fact that they're a step behind everybody else over at Roush Fenway is going to matter this weekend. But Brad Keselowski, you know, I don't know how you can look at him as a long shot, mm-hmm. but I think that's what it's going to play just because of the odds, and they won't be thinking about him because he's in the sixth. But if you're going to get him off the bench this week and use him in your fantasy, this is when you want to have Brad Keselowski in your lineup.
You know, Brad didn't look too bad on the dirt track yesterday.
Okay. No, he didn't. And then he fell back and I think he finished like 12th or something. But he was sporty. I was really shocked that he was up there mixing it up. And not sure what happened. You know, it might have been lane choice. You know, there was certainly an advantage yesterday in what lane he chose at the racetrack. And but, you know, Brad was up there in the top five for a while and then disappeared. But I really think that if, like I said, if you're going to use him off in your fantasy team, this is the week to do it.
Right. He ended up running 11th. So that's not too bad, really, for that team.
No, it's not bad at all. I mean, a top 10, you know, you start when you get a top 10, there's just something a little more oomph in it than 11th. But,
yeah. I still think he's going to win a race before the year's up.
I hope so, because you know, I understand the whole penalty situation, but you hate to see when he's trying to get that deal turned around that they get hosed like that.
Yeah. All right, Lee, thanks so much for joining us on the show. We'll talk to you Saturday. I can't wait to talk to you then, and we'll see how it goes from now till then. We'll talk to you then.
Take care, gentlemen.
All right, there you have it. Lee Spencer joining us here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. What'd you think about that conversation there, Austin? Do you have any input on that? Is there anything pro or con that come out of that conversation for you?
I'm not sure. I'm trying to think. You know, Brad. I don't know. I don't know if Brad can win one this year or not. He might be able to sneak into one, but I don't know.
I think he's going to turn that team around myself.
He might be able to. I mean, he's done better for the team because they've improved on their finishing position and their overall speed in the car. But, you know, we saw him in the first three or four races of the year. He was super aggressive and just putting his team in a bad position. Mm. And, you know, he had the penalty. And I just think he's trying to, you know, do too much in a short amount of time. And I think he just kind of needs to, you know, log his laps and just kind of sit back and relax, you know, yeah. And just, you know, if it falls your way, it falls your way.
Ethan said Lee Major's grandson, Cody, races sprint cars in California. Do you see that? Do you even know who Lee Major is?
I don't know who that is.
The $6 million man? You never heard of the $6 million man?
No.
Way before your time, bud. Way before your time. What year did the $6 million man come on? Let me find this out real quick. You know, I like doing this once in a while. What year did the $6 million man air on television? Oh, that's why. The show aired for three seasons from 76. It started in 1976.
Well, there's your reason right there.
I was 16 when that thing started. You don't remember the $6 million man. Lee Majors? You don't remember Lee Majors?
I have no idea you're talking about.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it.
You shouldn't be surprised.
I'm not surprised. You're not a TV guy. All right. We got a pretty good show lined up the rest of the week. Tomorrow, Mike Mueller is going to join us. He's been on the show before. Oh, and he was on the Fall Guy, too. Do you remember the Fall Guy? No, you don't remember.
Come on, Scott.
Come on.
Don't
do this to me.
Don't do it.
All right. Anyway, tomorrow, Mike Mueller is going to join us. He picked up the $20,000 victory there at the Kyle Larson race at Bulls Gap, Tennessee. We'll have him on tomorrow. On Wednesday will be our weekly visit with Steve Post. And on Thursday, we're going to have the new owner of JJR, Jason Johnson Racing. Philip Dietz will join us on Thursday as well. So we got a pretty good show lined up for you throughout the week. You know, we've decided, Austin and I, that we're going to try to just trim it back a little bit on our guests a little bit and kind of just sit and shoot the bull with you guys here on the show as well. Don't you like it a little bit better? And he was married to Farrah Fawcett. Do you know who Farrah Fawcett is?
No.
Come on. Everybody had a Farrah Fawcett poster in their room at one time or another.
I don't know who you're talking about.
She was one of the most beautiful women ever back in the 70s. Everybody else agree with that? I say she was. John's checking in from upstate New York. Thank you, John. We appreciate you. All right. What do we got coming up this weekend? What do you think? What's the race that you want to see this weekend?
You know, I think this weekend is the Outlaw race at Tri-City, which is one of my favorite tracks to go race at. So I definitely will probably catch the Outlaw race at Tri-City and maybe the Cup race at Talladega. Never go wrong with super speedway racing.
Farrah is old enough to be your grandmother, your grandma.
I believe
that's what
it.
Caleb said. Farrah was, I want you to look up, can you type up Farrah Fawcett? I want you to see who she is, just so you could see how beautiful she was. She was, there she is, look at her. Oh my gosh, she was about as pretty a woman as ever. You think she's a good looking woman there, Austin? That's 70s look for you, isn't it?
That's old school.
That's some old school look there. She was so pretty. Holy cow. Man, oh man. Kirk, did you think Farrah Fawcett was pretty?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure he did. Yeah, he did. Oh yeah, hottie, David says. All right. Hard to believe she's been gone 13 years now.
Wow.
Yeah, that's terrible. All right, well, that's it, folks, for us today. Don't forget, tomorrow, Mike Mueller is going to join us. We'll talk about his $20,000 win at the Kyle Larson race at Bulls Gap, Tennessee. And then on Wednesday, Steve Post, Philip Dietz on Thursday. It's going to be a good week of Mostly Motorsports. We hope that you'll join us each and every day. It all starts at 12 noon Central Time. And each and every show here on Mostly Motorsports is brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. For Austin, for Kirk, I'm Scott Traylor. We'll see you tomorrow here at 12 noon Central Time on Mostly Motorsports.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.